welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, Radio Family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you're able to join me today as we conclude a message, The Move Is On. Some wonderful lessons to learn out of the life of David as he was newly anointed king over all of Israel. And just as he was opposed by the enemy, when the Philistines heard that he was king, well, they came up against him in a huge array. They were spread out in the valley of Rephidim, and he called on the name of the Lord, "Lord, what shall I do?" And twice they came up, and God gave different strategies both times. And so we've been looking that when we are in a place of battle, when we're in a place of sometimes feeling absolutely submerged with the waters of the enemy, God will raise a standard against the works of darkness. I was sharing, as we concluded yesterday's broadcast, the ancient Chaldean version of the text, verse 15 in 1 Chronicles 14. That's verse 15 says, "When thou shalt hear the sound of angels coming to thy assistance, then go out to battle. For an angel is sent from the presence of God that he may render thy way prosperous." And as I shared on yesterday's broadcast, just in terms of word confusion, the King James translates it as, the rustling or a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, but the actual a mulberry tree doesn't make that kind of rustling sound, but nonetheless, the bakim, it's the balsam tree, the B-A-K-A-I-M, it's a species of balsam tree, but there's a confusion with that Hebrew word, which is baka, B-A-K-H-A, which means to weep. And so, beloved, what I shared on yesterday's broadcast, this valley of weeping must have been a place where the Israelites had suffered defeat, or perhaps they'd gone through it on their way to captivity. Nonetheless, I think we can all relate and identify to that valley of weeping that we've experienced in our lives. But what do we see here? If there had not been an evident supernatural intervention in this second attack of the Philistines, David, as well as the people of Israel, would have thought it was just a clever ambush strategy. They went around them. They didn't do what the enemy expected them to do. And they would think that that was the cause of the tremendous victory. The second defeat of the Philistines was even greater. They were not only defeated, but they were pursued to the borders of their own country, which is about 12 miles. Verse 16 says, "David therefore did as God commanded him, and they smote the host of the Philistines from Gibeon even to Gezer." So that actually cleared that section of Israel from Gibeon to Gezer. Let's look at verse 16 again. David did as God commanded him, and they smote the host of the Philistines. And it's not a surprising result of these great victories that there was a fear of God, of God as well as David, on all the nations around, because verse 17 says, "And the fame of David went out into all the lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations." So, beloved, if you will resist the enemy, he will flee from before you. So what can we say? What are the conclusions that we can make regarding all we've looked at this week as we've looked at this episode in David's life? Regardless of how the mind of man in various translations of the Bible, how would choose to interpret the Holy Scripture, I believe it was not just a fitful wind blowing in the leaves of the trees, of the mulberry trees, but I believe it was angel squadrons who were proceeding against the enemies of Israel. And even the King James certainly does give reference to that, because it's a sound of going in the tops of the mulberry trees, not just the wind rustling through them, but going, what? Of angel squadrons proceeding against the enemies of Israel. And you know, we find this frequently in Scripture. It's an exciting thought. Think about it. No matter how embattled you might feel today, the Lord has angels surrounding you. If you will speak the word of the Lord, if you will praise Him, if you'll be obedient, if you learn the lessons that David learned about the sovereignty of God, about the waiting on the Lord and the timing of the Lord, and also about immediate obedience, as you learn those things, God will give you victory. Remember when Joshua, they were ready to march into Canaan, and the first city they took was Jericho. Well, Jesus appears to him as a warrior savior, and he appears to him as the captain of the host, as he was commissioned to take Jericho. And look at Elisha, remember that? The chariots of the Lord surrounded the city. He prayed that the eyes of his servant would be open, and he saw them, and he realized that the more were with them than with the enemy, the natural opponents who were arrayed in battle gear around them. So, beloved, what can we learn? That we must start warring in our kingly authority. Beloved, you are not alone. And there's warfare. I wish I could say we could gain the promised land, that place of victory in Christ, without warfare, but I can't. It's an example in the Bible. God did give Israel all of Canaan to Israel, but they had to subdue the enemies. They had to go in warfare against them, and that warfare must be accomplished before the glory returns. Because you know what, beloved? When you are willing to gird your loins for battle, when you're willing to be strong and valiant, remember Gideon, he said he was hiding from the Philistines. He was hiding, and the angel of the Lord appears to him and said, "Thou mighty man of valor." And he was like, "Yeah, sure." We might feel that way. But God is going to anoint us because we are His. And remember, God reduced that army to thousands to 300 mighty men who literally routed the enemy and drove them miles and just decimated them. Praise God. And so what I was saying about the glory returning, the very next incident, which is so beautiful in the life of David, is the literal return of the ark. A second time after that great victory, then we see a successful attempt. They had spent the time, remember, the ark had been in Obed-Edom's house for 3 months. The priests had gone to the book of the law. They discovered they needed to carry it on staves. And there was a glorious, wonderful celebration when the ark, which is the literal manifestation of God in the Old Testament, that He was able to be brought into the tabernacle of David. And beloved, this is I believe, a prophetic significance where the body of Christ is right now. We are in warfare. We're living in perilous times. The days are dark, and I wish I could say they're going to get lighter, but they're not. Gross darkness shall be upon the people, darkness upon the face of the earth. But beloved, as we obey God, we're going to walk in a kingly authority. Beloved, there's simply a divine order of the things. We can't get away from it. If we'll confess with our mouth, believe in our heart, what do we have? Salvation. If we will labor, there will be rewards. If we will sow, we will reap in due time. If we will humble ourselves, we will be exalted. If we will be willing to experience the fellowship of His sufferings, praise God, then we will experience the power of His resurrection. So often we want to get it backward, but beloved, we can't escape the divine order. Physically, naturally, as well as spiritually, this ministry, as well as God's people, I believe are ready to begin a new phase according to God's divine program. And so, beloved, oh, brother and sister, are you ready? Are you willing? Are you able to arise to meet the challenge? Are you able to humble yourself before God? Are you willing to wait upon Him? Are you willing to seek His way, not your way? And are you willing to give immediate and willing obedience to what He says? Remember those important lessons I shared with you, the sovereignty of God. It's His way, not ours. And it's willingness to wait upon Him. It's not our own cleverness. It's not our own experience, all the lessons and the Bible knowledge that we've learned, but it's a knowledge of the Lord, that He is the Lord. He will lead us. Jesus said, if you follow me, I will make you fishers of men. He is in the head. He is leading us, and we get our authority, we get our directions from Him. Remember Jesus' very first miracle. Mary said about Jesus at the miracle of Canaan in John, the second chapter, verse 5, the Revised Standard says, His mother said to the servants, do whatever He tells you. David is anointed by Samuel as a young shepherd boy. But beloved, he was tested by years of struggle, by years of adversity before he assumed the throne. And there was relative obscurity. And so this is true, I believe, in our days. So many of you who have struggled, many who have been in obscurity. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it is much better. I don't want anyone to know my name. I'll never forget there was a dear Lakota Sioux woman who used to come into our services. She was translated, did mighty works for God. She didn't even want anybody to know her name because she wanted Jesus to get the glory. Beloved, these principles are what God uses so that we can truly walk by faith. Praise God. For the Spirit of the Lord would say to you, my beloved, yea, he that has ears to hear, hear the Spirit of the Lord. For if you receive my words, behold, I will give you that anointing that shall cause the yoke to be destroyed from off of thy neck, and you shall go forth with a liberty. You shall go forth with a joy. Oh, you shall rejoice, for that long season of the dry spell, that long season of the wilderness shall be over, and you shall again walk by streams of living waters. You shall be quenched by the waters of the Spirit, and you shall rejoice, knowing your God goes before you. And as you hearken unto me, as you listen to me, as you're led by the Spirit of God, and as you wait upon me and obey me, says the Lord, you shall see the victory given into your hand, and you shall rejoice, for you shall know that in me nothing shall be impossible to you, says your God. Praise God. Thank the Lord for His anointing. Well, I trust you sense the presence of the Lord. Receive that word. Go with the lessons you've learned this week. If necessary, rehear them at unveilchrist.org and begin to walk in them. That'll bring the victory. Well, I love you, dear ones. It's been such a joy to share this truth with you from the Word of God. I do invite you to write. If you're blessed by the broadcast, please write and encourage my heart. And if God touches your heart to support the broadcast, that we can stay on this station, please obey Him. God bless you. I love you. And until next week, this is Sister Glass. May God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.